so we thank the Lord for your presence here today. And most of all, we thank the Lord for his presence. The scripture says very plainly that if two or three are gathered together in his name, he would be in the midst of us. That's a promise. It's a promise that the Lord is going to be in the midst of us and he's going to work and give us what we need. I thought about today what the Lord gave me. I want to turn to Jeremiah, the 29th chapter and the 11th verse, very familiar text of scripture that most of us could probably quote by heart. And I want to talk a little bit about the plan that the Lord has for you. I don't know what the plan is that the Lord has for you, and maybe you don't know it either, but it's our responsibility and our privilege to be able to ask the Lord, Lord, what's the plans that you have for me, for my life? I think about this coronavirus and the things that have happened since that time. A lot of us have plans between the beginning of March and today, which is the end of May. We all had plans during that time, and those plans have been changed, haven't they?
Yeah.
If you were going to go on a vacation, if you were going to do a particular thing, those plans have been blighted. And we sing a song sometimes that says, though my hopes and my plans have been blighted, I will love thee and trust in thee still.
Yes.
We're going to trust the Lord anyway, no matter what's going, what comes, what goes. The Lord knows better than we do what we need. And our responsibility is to seek the Lord about it. I've thought about how sometimes people say things like, well, what's the plan? We're doing a particular thing. What's the plan? And they're looking to somebody to give them some kind of direction.
Yes.
And when we take into consideration what a plan is, it's a thought. It's a thought in our minds of what we're going to do. Maybe a systematic way of looking at a particular thing, and we have an end goal in mind, don't we?
Yes.
So in Jeremiah, the 29th verse, the 29th chapter, 11th verse, it says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. So when we take that into consideration, what the Lord is saying here, he said, I know the thoughts. And you might take that word thought and exchange it for plans. I know what the plans that I have for you, the Lord says. The plans that I have for you, they're plans, they're good, they're not evil, and I'm going to bring you to an expected end. So when we take into consideration what we're dealing with when we're talking about a plan, basically, we start from the back forward. So we say, all right, one of the plans that we have, I believe the plan that every one of us has, is we want to go to heaven, right?
Yes.
I want to go to heaven. I want to see the Lord's face in peace, all right? That's the end result. Now, there are certain steps that I have to go through right now, and I have to do it on a daily basis, and I have to make certain that there are things that I'm doing that are appropriate and things that God requires me to do before I get there, or else I won't make it. All right. And so I know that we have to be very, very conscious and very cautious about these particular things. So it says the plans keep us organized. They keep us on task. And I thought oftentimes one of the things that I've learned being a very busy man when I was all the time I have myriads of things to do. One of the things that helped me is to write down what I have to do for that particular day. And why is that important? That's important to us because it's important to me because there have been times that I didn't do it, and it seems like my mind forgets because it's overloaded with certain things. But if you make a to-do list, and we all have been in situations like that where we make a to-do list, today I've got to get these things accomplished, and we have a plan, even though it's not a written plan, we got some kind of a way that we're going to stay on task and I'm going to do these things because we put the things that are most important to us, we put them at the very top, right?
Yes.
Well, the Lord knows what we need. He knows the plans that he has for us. I want us to turn right along with this to get to lay out the background or the foundation of this thought today. I want us to turn to Jeremiah, the first chapter, and I want to read starting at the 4th verse. If you have it, you can read it for us, please. Jeremiah 1, verse 4. Read it.
Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying,
yes.
Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee.
Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee.
And before thou camest
out of the womb,
I sanctified thee.
And I ordained thee a prophet of the nations. Now, the Lord is saying this to Jeremiah, and we preached a few months ago about how the Bible is a series of stories about people's lives. And they become the Word of God. They're important, and they become the Word of God. But they're the people that are expressed or are dealt with in the Bible, or whose stories we know about. They're people just like you and me. And so they give us this kind of understanding so that we can relate to what's going on in Jeremiah's life. So you suppose that the Lord only did that for Jeremiah? You suppose that the Lord only knew what was happening in Jeremiah's life, and before Jeremiah was born, the Lord knew him before he was even formed in the belly. The Lord had an understanding in his mind before this man even existed in the way that you and I understand existence. Before he even existed, the Lord had a plan for him. He said, I knew thee before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest out of the womb, I sanctified thee. So the Lord had everything in plan. He had, in place. He had a plan. He had a clarity and an understanding of who Jeremiah was going to be, who was going to raise him, what kind of environment he was going to be in, whether it was a dysfunctional family, whether it was a perfect family. Didn't matter what it was. God knew, and God put him in that particular family for a particular purpose, right? And then all the things that happened to Jeremiah from the time he came out of the womb to the time that he began to do what God wanted to do, God had a plan for him. He had a way of that he wanted Jeremiah to do it. Now, I want to say this to you and me. God has a plan for us.
Yes.
And before we were formed in the belly, God knew what he wanted us to do. He knew what kind of a environment we were going to be in. He knew what kind of personality we would have. He knew what kind of, what our mother would be. And some people, well, if I had a good family like yours, Brother Daryl, then everything would have been better. No, it wouldn't have been. You still have the ability to do what God wants you to do. It doesn't matter what kind of family you were born in. Doesn't matter what kind of handicaps you have. Doesn't matter what other issues you may have in your life. You can do what God wants you to do. All of us can, all right? So he says here, and then said I, now here's the point that I want us to get a hold of. I want us to get a hold of this point as well, because there is something about us. We have a plan in our minds as to what our life is going to be like as well. When I was very young, when I was in my teen years, I knew exactly what my life was going to be. I had planned it out. I had envisioned what I wanted to be, and it wasn't standing behind a pulpit preacher. All right? So oftentimes, we have our own plans. So there are a few plans. God has a plan for us. So we're talking about God's plan. And then we have a plan of our own. Then ours. We have a plan of our own. So we have our own plan. This is how I want my life to be. And we look at it oftentimes when we say in our mind, you know, I want to get married. I want to have a wife, and I want to have two kids, a dog and a cat and a picket fence. We have that all in our mind. We've already made it up in our mind, and that may not be how our life goes, right? But that's our plan. It's our plan. And so we've got God's plan for our lives. Have you ever stopped to think and ask the Lord, Lord, what is your plan for my life? What do you want me to do? What is most important? Because ultimately speaking, the best life that you can have is the life that God has already planned for you. All right? And oftentimes we don't ask the Lord. We say, Lord, this is my plan. This is what I want to do. This is the woman that I want to marry. And I run off and marry. We find out that may not have been the best thing for us to do, right? But you know what I did when I got to that age? The Lord had told me. I looked at plenty of marriages that didn't make it. And I said, Lord, I want you to give me the wife of my dreams. And you know what? People say, well, you know, we have so much in common. Well, me and my wife have very little in common. It's really true. The one thing we have in common is that we love the Lord. But I'm on one end of the spectrum, she's on the other end of the spectrum, and we work perfectly together. What we find out, and I know the Lord gave her to me, all right? Because what we end up finding is somewhere in the middle, when we can come to somewhere in the middle, is probably the right thing for us to do as we pray about it. But so sometimes it's not all about, oh, this, we have so much in common, and I fell in love with a woman that likes to travel, and you know what? She loves to travel, and I hate to travel. I get up early. She stays in the bed late. She stays up late. Those kinds of things are completely different. You know, it's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying that. But our plans oftentimes are completely different than what the Lord's plans for us are. All right? So here is in the sixth verse I want to read there. It says, then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak. I am but a child. You know, when the Lord shows us, begins to show us his plan, you know what we tend to do? Find excuses as to why we can't do it. Oh, Lord, I can't do that. Oh, well, I don't want to get close to the Lord, because if I get close to the Lord, then he might call me to go to Africa and be a missionary to India or Africa or Mexico or wherever it might be. And we don't want to do that. So we make excuses in our minds to disobey the Lord. All right? And then the Lord talks to us, and he works with us, and he deals with us, and he lets us know that you cannot just make excuses here. So he says, oh, Lord God, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord had a rebuttal to that, didn't he? He said, but the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak.
So the Lord knew exactly what was going to happen. The Lord knew how to rebut our excuses and our rebuttals to Him and what He wants us to do. May the Lord help us to understand, Lord, if You call me to this particular place, You're going to qualify me to do the thing that You're calling me for. You're going to do that. And so we have to believe that. We have to understand it. We have to accept it. We have to say, Lord, whatever it is that You want me to do, I am willing to go after Your plan because You see the end from the beginning. When the scripture that we read, it says to give You an expected end. Now, ultimately speaking, what do we all want? Every one of us, under the sound of my voice, whoever hears me years from now or whenever, you want to go to heaven. That's the expected end. You're going to do whatever it is that it takes to get to heaven. That's what you should do. But you know there are going to be a lot of people that are not going to do it. Now, here's another point that we want to make. So we have God's plan for our life. We have our own plan. And then we have Satan has a plan for us. All right? So Satan has a plan. And when we take into consideration Satan's plan for us, we have to understand that everything that God wants for us, the devil doesn't want us to have. And he's going to do everything in his power to make certain that we don't get it. He's going to do everything that he possibly can to make certain that he foils in some way or another God's plan for our lives. And if we're not careful, we'll get in the middle of it and we'll foil God's plan for our life with all the excuses that we have as to why I can't do what the Lord would have me to do. There are going to be a lot of things in our lives that sometimes don't seem like they make a whole lot of sense, but the Lord tells us that this is what His will is for us in a particular matter. There have been times that I've had to go back and I've had to ask the Lord, Lord, are You sure that this is what You want me to do? When I look at it and I use my judgment and I think of what my plans were, it doesn't really seem like it fits and it makes a whole lot of sense. I'll use a prime example here. My coming to Sacramento, you've heard me say this before, but my coming to Sacramento, it didn't make a whole lot of sense for me from various perspectives. All right? Financially, it didn't make a whole lot of sense. I'm older than I was when I started. Now I'm here, I'm young, but that's a relative term. In Dallas, I was old, but that was a relative term as well. But when you look at what God's plan, and I didn't know, what we didn't know is that there were saints that were praying here in this little place right here that says, God, You have some bigger plan for this city of Sacramento. You have a greater plan for us than what we see happening right now. And then we pray and we seek the Lord and we say, Lord, what's Your plan? And we don't know that 2,000 miles away, God's talking to somebody else about His plan and what His plan is for this place. This is why we're to pray and ask the Lord, Lord, what is it that You want in my life? That's the best life. God takes care of that. God does those kinds of things. We need to understand that when we pray for God to have His way and His will in our life, that's the best life that we can have. And we have to also understand that there could have been all kinds of excuses. And trust me, there was. When we began to say, well, Lord, this doesn't really seem like it makes a whole lot of sense. Just like Jeremiah, Lord, I don't know about this. I don't know that this makes a whole lot of sense. I'm a child. I can't speak. I've got all kind of legitimate, from my perspective, legitimate excuses not to do it. And then if we're not careful, we won't do it. And it becomes part of our plan as opposed to God's plan for us. And so now I'm doing what I want to do rather than what God wants me to do. Ultimately, the only way for me to get to the end, the expected end that God has for me, is for me to do what God desires for me to do. The only way for you to get to the expected end is for you to do what God desires for you to do. Nothing else matters. Now, at every interval, the devil is going to be right there to whisper in your ear, well, you know what? This don't make a whole lot of sense. Why are you doing this? You know, your life is going to be a lot more difficult if you do this. And what did Jeremiah say? But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. I'm not going to tell you what to say. You're not going to know what's going to happen at the beginning before you get there. When you get there, I'm going to give you the words to speak. And we find out, what do we call Jeremiah? The weeping prophet. He had a lot of disappointments in his life, and that was what God had called him to at the very beginning, before he was even born. It's what God had called him to, all right? Then he said, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Now, this is before Jeremiah takes off and starts doing his ministry. So he said, don't be afraid of their faces. Why does he tell them that? He's telling them that you're going to have some problems. People are going to come. They're going to look. They're not going to like what you're saying. They're not going to like the words that I put in your mouth. And he said, don't be afraid of their faces. So he's already telling them that there are some issues. There are some things that he's going to have to be dealing with. There are some things that he's going to have to address. There are some things that he's going to have to fight against. All right. May the Lord help us. You know, there are going to be some things that we have to fight against as well. Then the Lord put forth his hand and he touched my mouth. And the Lord said, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations, over the kingdoms, to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build up, and to plant. So in other words, your first thing that you're going to do is you're going to tear down some of the old ways that the people have done it. And you're going to root up, you're going to tear down, you're going to destroy. People don't like when you come and destroying things that they've done, right? And then he said, you're going to build and you're going to plant. So there are going to be some good parts and there are going to be some difficult parts that you're going to have to go through. And there is no one's life here, right here, that are under the sound of my voice, that's watching this, that's listening. There's no one's life that has not had some difficulties, some ups and some downs. All right? You're going to have some ups and downs. You're going to have some things that you're going to have to go through that the Lord's going to help you go through. All right? All right? So when I think of it like this too, there are a lot of people that don't have a plan for their life. Do you have a plan for your life? What after this coronavirus is up and after you are released to go back to work, what are you going to do? Have you thought about that? Have you thought about? I know many are at a retirement age that's here in the place, but what are you going to do? What's going to be different? And what I want to encourage you to do today is make certain that you ask the Lord, Lord, what would you have for me to do? Do you know there's something that the scripture talks about? They shall still bring forth fruit in their old age. Just because you're old, I don't care if you're 92, if you're 89, if you're 78, some of the ages of some of y'all, y'all know what I'm talking about. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter. The Lord has a plan for you at this particular age, or you wouldn't still be here, right? And it may not be what you used to do back in the old days when you were younger. No, we don't need that now. The Lord doesn't need you to do what you did when you were younger. He needs you to stand in the place and stand in the gap for some of the younger ones. And you to some one of the most valuable things is being a prayer warrior. And all of us can do that. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter how old you are. You can carry a burden for the church. You see what the problem is with the church today? You see that there's an outreach need. There's a need for outreach or a need for younger people. Though that's where you come in. Yeah. That's where you can pray. That's where you can ask the Lord, Lord, give wisdom to the people that are leading. Give understanding to those that are in those kinds of places. Help us that when they come to us, that we'll know what to do. We need people behind us, a support team that are praying. No, they're not out on the front lines as per se, out fighting the battles per se in the physical sense, but you're fighting the battles in the spiritual realm. We need that. And sometimes I can see in my own experience, in my own ministry, that there is a shift in your ministry, that your ministry is not as active going out on the streets and necessarily that like it was before. But the Lord has something else planned for us. Yes. And we're to find out what God's plan is. And we're to submit our plan to God's plan, and we're to resist the devil's plan that he has for us. He's going to intervene in every opportunity that he has. I want to go a little further. I want to go to the 18th chapter of Jeremiah. Another familiar text of scripture. 18th chapter of Jeremiah. I want to start reading at the first verse.
The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying,
yes,
arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my word.
All right, so this is giving us a little example of what the Lord had told Jeremiah in what we just read. He said, he said, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words.
Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter.
So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it.
Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel,
cannot I do with you
as this potter, saith the Lord?
Behold,
as the clay is in the potter's hand,
so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. Now, first of all, there are a few things that I'd like to point out in this. The Lord had a plan. Now, one of the things that I know about an artist and a person as a potter and whatnot, he has in his mind, when he puts this clump of clay on the wheel to start forming it, he knows what he wants to do. It's in his mind.
Yeah.
It's in his mind, and he sees it in his mind before he ever starts working on it. He knows what shape he wants it to be. He knows how to do it. He knows exactly what the purpose of that particular vessel is that he's going to make. So he has it in his mind as to what to do. That vessel's responsibility, that lump of clay's job, responsibility is to be pliable.
Yes.
To allow itself to be formed. And as it's pliable, and if it's a hard rock, you're not going to form that hard rock on a potter's wheel, are you?
Right.
So what has to happen, there has to be the water mixed with it. It has to be a lump of clay and mixed with water and worked through. And when he works through, he works all of the lumps out. He works all of the rocks out. He works all those things out. Now he has something that he can work with. Can the Lord work with you? Are you in a position where you're pliable, or do you know everything? Are you already set in your ways? Doesn't matter how old you are. Oh, well, Brother Darrell, I've been like this since I was... I don't care how long you've been like that. Is that your plan, or is it God's plan?
Yes.
Is it what you're doing, is it part of what God's plan is it for you? Or stop making excuses about how you are and how you've always been. The Lord wants to change you. The Lord wants you to be something different because he has a plan for your life, and his plan for your life is far better than your plan for your life is. You know why? It is because he can see the end from the beginning. He said to give you an expected end. I know where I'm going with this. I know what I want you to do. I know what I want you to become. And I don't care what age you are. I don't care that you're set in your way. I want to break you if that's what it takes. The Lord will break you if that's what it takes. Ultimately, he said, if you're going to get to heaven, you're going to get there my way, not your way. You know, and sometimes we want to go there the way that we want to go. Lord, this is just too hard. I don't see why I have to go through these kinds of things. Why me, Lord? Why me? And we say those kinds of things. Lord, help us to understand that all of these things, these intricate details in our lives are working together for our good, for our benefit, to bring us to an expected end. And ultimately what the Lord wants us to do is to look like him. And some of us don't. Some of us don't. Some of us don't look as much like him as we need to look like him. Oh, we're working toward it, and we're going to get there, and we're working toward that end. But ultimately, the Lord said that, I don't, you know what, have you ever had somebody, that's, or your relative that you wanted, didn't want nobody to know you were related to him? Have you ever had somebody that, they're maybe at a family reunion, and they're doing something, and they're embarrassing everybody, and it's like, you put your head down and you're like, oh, Uncle so-and-so. He's always doing something like that. You know what? Do you suppose that the Lord has that kind of, oh, that's my child over there acting up. What if you had a child? I say this all the time because I was one of those. My wife and I were disciplinarians. My wife was a really good disciplinarian too. And, you know, but we never had our children fall down in the middle of Walmart and kick and scream and say, and say, give me that toy or else I'm going to do it. And so we just give them the toy in order. That never happened in our life. Never happened in our lives. You know why it didn't happen in our lives? Because at some point, there are going to be some that say, oh, you're a child abuser. I'm not a child abuser. The scripture tells us to whip them.
That's
scripture
right.
Says beat them, they won't die. It'll sound like they are. They'll act like they are. They'll do all those kinds of things. But you break that child and you help let that child understand that you're gonna always be under authority. There's always going to be some authority that you're going to have to listen to. And when you get 18, you don't have to listen to me anymore. But trust me, you're going to have to listen to what the police says.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying? We see all of this, and I know it's a tragic thing about what the police are doing nowadays. And I think it's unmerited and all those kinds of things. But what we teach our children and what we have to teach them is, you know what? You do what they say because he got a gun.
That's right.
You do what he says. Lord, help us. And then we deal with it afterwards. May the Lord help us. I know that I know there's a touchy subject, but I know where I stand on that particular thing. But I'm just saying that these are some things that we have to be very careful of, don't we?
Yeah.
We have to be very careful what we do, what we say, how we say it, and those kinds of things, because ultimately Satan has a plan. Satan has a plan. And if he can deviate us and get us to start working toward his plan, then, you know, he's going to come out the winner. Lord, help us in that. May the Lord help us that way. So I say it like this because the potter, if we're not pliable and we're already set in our ways, we're older and, you know, I got old. And once I got older, I was much more pliable as a young child that my parents can tell me what to do. The Lord can tell me what to do. But as we get older, we kind of get set in our ways, don't we? This is the way I like it, and this is the way it is, and I always want it just like this. And I've worked with older people, and older people are, and I'm not just talking about older people here. I work with older people everywhere. And older people tend to be set in their ways, don't they?
Yes.
Am I I'm not telling us something that we don't know, right? It is. Lord, help us. And so what we want, if we're not careful, we'll eliminate God's plan in our lives because that's not how we think it should be done. But Lord, the Lord has a way for it to be done. And you know what? Not only that, but there are some people that just have a personality, kind of have a stubborn personality. They're stubborn, and we can say it however we want to. We can put it whatever euphemisms that we want to put in and make it whatever, however nice we want it to, but they're just a stubborn person. I've run into them in business deals, and what do you have to do? You've got to be able to negotiate. In real estate, one of the things that I've learned is a seller may say, I want X amount of money, and I'm not going to take a dime less. And his house might be worth $50,000 less than what he's demanding that it take. Okay, and you know what we do? We put it on the market. We put it on the market at the price that he says, and it stays on the market for 3 months, and nobody touches it. And then so we come back to him, and we say, have you had enough? No. All right, we'll stay on the market for another 3 months. And then at some point, he begins to break. He begins to understand, I need to get rid of this house. Where should I put it? Drop it $50,000.
Yes.
Well, I wanted more money than that. It's not worth more money than that. Not in this particular market. Lord, help us. And so in some ways, we have those kinds of ideas set in our mind that this is the way things are going to do, and this is how we're going to do it, and there's no one that's going to change our mind. We're stubborn. Lord, help. And so the Lord is working, and we're saying, no, Lord, I don't want to be that kind of a vessel. I don't want to be a preacher. And the Lord said, I wasn't going to make you a preacher anyway. And so therefore, I'm jumping off the wheel. I'm not going to allow the Lord. I'm not going to be pliable in the hand of the Lord because I don't want to be what the Lord is making me. I don't want to do God's plan. But let me tell you something about God's plan. That's the easiest way to get to heaven. That's what I've learned. And it's the best life. Yes. You want to live your best life? You go by God's plan because he can see the end from the beginning. You've heard me say this before. We've all been in places that, well, if I knew then what I know now, I would do things quite differently. Well, you had a plan, and you took that plan, and you, in the confines of your mind, you felt like, okay, if I do this is how it's going to work out. But you realize that you're in a controlled environment. Your brain, your mental state is a controlled, your thoughts are a controlled environment. You can't control what's going on around here. You can control what's in your mind, and then what happens is something is inserted that you didn't take into consideration, and it changes everything. Corona happened. We would have been here by now, but Corona happened. Now everything has changed. The job that I was going to have. I was going to get me a house by the end of the year. Now I don't have a job. Now what am I going to do? Plans change. The Lord would have saw that before. My wife and I were talking about it. She said, you know what? If we had not been obedient to the Lord to move now, I wonder what it would have been like us trying to sell our house back in Texas. We sold it right at the right time, right at the right spot for the right price and all those kind of things. God fit everything right into place. I'll tell you a little story about that. I don't know if I've told you this before, but we put the house on the market, and the person that ended up buying it called me up on the phone, and they said, you know, I didn't even know that this little town, a suburb of Dallas, just about 15 minutes from downtown, I didn't even know this place existed, but she asked me some questions over the phone, and then she came. She said, can we come and see the house? I said, of course you can come and see the house. When she walked in, she started talking about the Lord. Now, when I'm doing my business, I don't start preaching to them and preaching at them and all those kinds of things. I just disclose, of course, I've got to tell you that I'm also the owner of the house and blah, blah, blah. And she said, well, you know, the Lord just moved on my heart. The Lord just moved on my heart to come over here. She said, I made a wrong turn. And I came into the community. I thought, oh, I would love to live here. She said, I've just been praying. This is almost verbatim, the conversation. I've been praying that morning. And I told my son, I said, the Lord's going to give us a house. And and we're not even going to have to look for it. And so, and she felt that way. And so she came, she said, when she made a wrong turn, she didn't even know our little community existed. She made a wrong turn. She said, oh, this is a nice little community. I'm wondering what happened. So she went on Zillow, she looked it up, and she called on our house. And she said, well, the Lord just moved on my heart to do these things. And I thought, you know what? Isn't the Lord good? And they came in and they looked at it, they liked it, and they bought it. You know, that was the Lord's plan. And so what we look at, God has a plan, and we didn't know how we were going to do it, but the Lord had a way of doing it, and they gave us the price that we wanted for. Everything worked out perfect, and it was the Lord's plan, not ours, not the way that we felt like it needed to be. It was God's plan. Saints, you can trust God in the midst of everything. All right, let's go a little farther here. All right, so we've got to be teachable. We cannot be set in our ways. We've got to be pliable. We've got to allow the Lord to form us. And if we mess up in the hands of the Lord, we've got to say, and most of us, I don't think that there's anybody here that has not done something that they've had to ask the Lord to have mercy on them and forgive them for. All right? And I believe that we were going in the direction of the Lord's plan, and we marred in the Lord's hand in some kind of way, and the Lord comes back and he says, all right, I'll make another vessel for you. I'll make you something else, what I want you to be. And the Lord reforms us and we become more teachable now. Yeah. After we make mistakes, we become more teachable as to what God wants us to do, and we become more palatable in the hands of the Lord. May the Lord help us.
Yes.
All right, let's go a little farther here. Let's go to Romans, the 8th chapter. And I want to read 28th verse. That's a very good scripture, and I know you can quote it. All of these scriptures probably are beneficial.
And we know that all things work together.
All things work together for good.
To them that love God.
To them that love God.
To them who are the called.
Them who are the called.
According to his plan.
Mm-hmm. Called according to his purpose. What is his purpose? What is his plan for our lives? For whom he did foreknow.
He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son,
that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, I want to bring out this point here. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to God's plan, according to God's purpose. All of us, every little thing that happens, all the terrible things that happen in our lives, all the wonderful things that happen in our lives, they actually bring us together to bring about the purpose that God has for our individual lives. All right, they're working together. And what he said, for whom he did foreknow. Now, do you know what this scripture, that takes us back to what the first scripture we talked about in Jeremiah, where it speaks about, I know the thoughts that I have. Oh, well, no, Jeremiah, first verse. Well, that verse too. I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Said the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil to give unto you expected end. So he said, and then in the Jeremiah, the first chapter, fourth verse, and he says, before I formed thee, I knew thee. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest out of the womb, I sanctified thee. Now he's saying, whom he did foreknow. Now what does that mean? It means the same thing. Whom he did foreknow, what did he do? He had an end for them. He predestinated. Destination. So he has a predestination. The destination is the end. And he has a predestination to them to be conformed into the image of the Son, of his Son, who is being the firstborn among many brethren. So what does he want us to do? He's predestined us to be like Christ.
Right. Yes, Lord.
If you go into Genesis, the first chapter, what is it saying? God said, let's make man in our image. After our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So what he said, let us make men in our image, in our likeness. So it's always been God's desire and design for you and me and the whole of creation to be just like him and his Son. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
That's the predestination. Yes. That's the plan. That's the plan of salvation. That's the plan and the purpose of God. And all these little things that are happening in our lives, all those things are working for our good.
Amen,
to
Lord.
That end.
Yes.
All right? So it says here, we got to let them work.
Mm-hmm.
We got to let them work for us.
Mm.
All right? If we don't let them work, we get all upset about what God is allowing to happen in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
We get all upset about that. It's not good, is it? So, Lord, why is this happening in my life? Well, ultimately, you know, the most horrible thing that could happen to you will work for your good if you let it.
That's true.
We don't have time to go into it, but you remember Joseph and you remember what Joseph went through?
Mm-hmm.
All those little details in Joseph's life, all those little horrible things, his brothers, his dysfunctional family, all those things affected Joseph in a negative way, didn't it? But ultimately, they worked for his good. God had a plan for Joseph, just like he has a plan for you and for me. All right? So, a plan requires vision. It basically projects, there's a projection of future events. We use our imagination to get us to that particular point, and it has it projects future events. I want to ask you, what's your plan? What's your plan? You're willing to get to heaven, right? Well, you really can't get there. You can't get there by your own plan. You got to get there by God's plan, right?
That's true.
God has a plan for you. God knows what he wants to happen in your life. God knows what he wants you to do in your life. And your job is to be pliable enough for the Lord to do that. The Lord is in control of your life. He's going to do only what's best for you. That's the wonderful thing that we can say about the Lord. He's going to do only what's best for you. Now, your job, your responsibility, my job, my responsibility is to make certain that I do what the Lord would have me to do as well. May the Lord help us. I trust that this has been an encouragement to you, and that the Lord would bless you in your plan, that you would understand and realize that the devil has a plan for you, God has a plan, and you have a plan. And the only one that can hinder you from getting to heaven, there's a wonderful thing about this, we have power over the devil. We have power over, and the only person, my wife can't stop me from getting to heaven, the way people treat me, the way the world treat me, what president's doing and what all those, they can't stop me from getting to heaven. The only person that can stop me from getting there is me. And if I don't make it, you know, the only person I can blame is me. Because I'm going to be how the world treated me. Well, they treated me, and I just had to lay down my religion for a minute and deal with them the way that I needed to deal with them. No, you didn't have to do that. You know why you didn't have to do it? Because God's grace is sufficient for you. Well, you know, I've heard people say, well, you better be glad I'm saved. No, you better be glad you're saved. I'm glad I'm saved because I've got power and I've got victory over what you're doing. I'm glad that I'm saved. It's not that you better be glad that I'm saved. I'm glad that I'm saved. May the Lord help us. I've got a plan. The plan of salvation is for every man, woman, boy, or girl. The plan of salvation is for us all. Saints, don't give up. God has a plan for you. He can rework the plan. You know how we got plan A? If plan A don't work, there's a plan B. You know, the devil has a plan B as well. So may the Lord help us to realize that we don't want to do the devil's plan B. We don't want to do our plan B. We want to do God's plan A if possible. And if it's not possible, if we've already messed that up and marred in the Lord's hand, you know what? He's got a plan B. He'll go all the way to Z if he has to. But he's got a plan to get you to heaven. May the Lord help us be encouraged. Pray for me.
Number 287. I will no longer doubt thee, O Lord.
Let us stand and sing number 287.
Can I defeat my Savior's blood?
Trample His mercy in the dust. How can I no longer doubting remain? If I but do Thou hast sent him.